Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Family Social Hour conference call here on freeconferencecall.com. This is part of the By Yahweh's Design Radio Ministry. Today's date is the 2nd of August, year 2023. And to start off with, we want to report that there are some good things happening out there, so it's not all bad. The general awakening is in full swing, it seems like. There's a lot of indications of that. The anger and angst of the average person is increasing, which is a good thing, because that means they'll start paying attention to things that we're trying to tell them. Just before airtime here, there were some interesting videos that I was sent to my inbox. One was dealing with a new source of energy. We used to call it back in the, I think it was back in the 80s and 90s, it was called cold fusion. Now it's called, I think, low energy nuclear reaction or reactor. But it's basically a way of taking common elements at a very low temperature, heavy water in this case, and it will produce a tremendous amount of energy. Not free. Nothing in this world is free. Of course, it would cost some money for the equipment and everything, but compared to energy costs today, it will seem as if it's practically free. The other thing is, because these reactors are very, very small and produce tremendous amounts of energy, someday they will be adapted to operate automobiles. They'll be able to be used in homes. So basically, for those that want to live off the grid and not be tied to a utility, it'll be very, very possible. So again, abundant energy. And this isn't even accounting the energy that can be gotten from Tesla technology that harnesses the energy from the magnetic lines of flux that go across the earth. So, and I have personally seen a Tesla device back in the 1990s and early 2000s when I lived in Michigan. I saw a young man who had invented a device built on Tesla technology. It was powering his house. When I saw it, it was in the third year of powering his house completely. And he told me the story of one winter in Michigan when the blizzards had come through and wiped out the power in the entire community. His house was the only house the lights were on. And some of the utility workers, which I worked for the American Electric Power at that time as well, and they stopped by to find out how his lights were still on when everybody else in the neighborhood was blacked out. And so they marveled at his machine. He also showed me magazines from Switzerland. He was on the front cover as guest speaker at a scientific symposium talking about alternative forms of energy. So as we said years and years ago, Yahweh will provide for his people. The man-made restrictions and man-made lying that has been going on for centuries is being exposed. And one of them is that we are to be energy dependent upon corporations and government. That's a lie. Our Heavenly Father meant for us to be energy independent and not tied to any system that would enslave us. So if the utilities can control your ability to light and heat your home, et cetera, then that is a form of enslavement. And we all know what they do when they have the ability to entice us to do the wrong thing. The last 3.5 years have proven that. So again, Yahweh's people were supposed to be independent upon the earth. And that means have independent sources of energy. So that was pretty interesting, seeing that video. I have not sent that one out in my mass email yet, but it was a Mike Adams was interviewing this gentleman. Can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but anyway, he was talking about the fact that the powers that be cannot stop this from being developed now. Too many people know about it, too many different independent researchers and independent financiers are backing the project now, so it's going to go into full swing. Besides that, the world is waking up to the shenanigans being done by these major energy corporations and corporations in general, how they have lied to us about almost everything in order to maintain their profits and their status in this world. And so this is just one more area that is coming to light. There were some other ones. I'm trying to think of them here. I should have wrote them down in notes. But the biggest one was the energy one. Also, there was another one sent out by a gentleman that's exposing the lies of the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican. And at the same time, he is also another person who's promoting the idea that we don't live on a spinning ball. And he goes into great detail about that, too. So many of the truths that we talk about on this... Charles put it up here. Decentralize.tv, Episode 7, Low Energy Nuclear Reactions, Decentralization of Power. Everything that decentralizes is for our benefit. Okay, so blockchain, the idea of the information that I received today about what they call web, which is peer-to-peer communications over the internet. It is decentralizing. There are several platforms out there that use this peer-to-peer type communications. One of them's called Quartal. One of them's called Bastion, Bastyon, and Nostr, Nostr. Also along the same lines, there are some of these privacy coins, which are cryptocurrencies, but they are built upon a blockchain that keeps everything private rather than public, which has always been one of my major concerns, that the cryptocurrencies are all completely public and they're not private. Whereas I was told Monero, Beam, and Firo, F-I-R-O, those coins are what they call privacy coins. And so they maintain your privacy even though they're in the realm of crypto. Okay, so again, word to the wise as far as prepping for what the enemy might try to do to keep yourself one step ahead of them. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. Even Charles here says Monero is great. Yeah. According to the folks on the Health Ranger report, the three top privacy coins were Monero, Beam, B-E-A-M, dot B-W, which is stands for the blockchain that it uses. I can't think of it. It's kind of a funny name, B-W. And then Firo, F-I-R-O.org, and Monero is .org as well. But the thing of it is, again, you diversify. You don't put all your eggs in one basket, used to be what they said when I was a boy. That way, if you tripped going out of the hen house, you didn't lose your breakfast that morning. So you get the idea. You don't put all your eggs in one basket in case the hens get into a fit and start flopping their wings and attacking you or whatever, and you drop the basket, then you lose all your eggs. And besides that, Mom usually used some of the eggs in her recipes for things she was going to bake. So you did not want to put all your eggs in one basket. So a lot of the old wives' tales and one-liners and things like that had a lot of common sense. And they were developed in the back when we were independent farmers. We were independent of anybody. We produced our own food. We drank water from our wells. We had homes that we built according to ours. There was no permits, there was no permission, there was no owing a tax and all this stuff to, quote, government agencies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We lived as free men and women upon the land. So Charles is saying here, Monero is good, but still based on obsolete technology of blockchain. Better technology is holochain. Now, that is something I have not heard of at all. So, we'll have to find out about that. But anyway, there are different things coming out, which is something that we've talked about for years, that our Father was not going to leave us high and dry in these latter days, that his sons and daughters, if they're paying attention, much like the last 3.5 years, when a lot of people have been suffering because they bent the knee and worshiped Baal and listened to what the Baal priests, like Fauci, Burks, government people, et cetera, what they were telling them, the medical mafia, they were telling them these things, and they bent the knee and they worshiped Baal. They worshiped a false god, an idol, and they pay a price for it. Yahweh's people, we went through the same period of time, and so we were affected by it, just like it says in Scripture, that in the flames of punishment, the flames of judgment, our people, just like Noah and his family on the ark, they suffered somewhat because they did not have access to the land. They had to spend a long time on that boat, but they were able to get by. They had food. They had shelter. Same idea. They were obedient, and they took whatever methods the Father gave them to escape this totalitarian system that we have, and they were able to come through it. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't see the hardship upon the people that obeyed the beast. Just like Noah and his family watched people that they used to probably do business with and talk to drown. Today, I lost a cousin. My brother lost his best friend. Other members of the family have lost some of their best friends and other relatives. Okay, so we go through the pain as we watch the results of what the beast system does. But in all truth, those people went along with the system, or the system outright murdered them, as in the case of my cousin. He did not want anything to do with the vaccination, but when he went in the hospital with a broken arm due to a motorcycle accident, it is our duty to prove it, but it's our belief that the nursing staff injected him when he was unconscious. And so he had a issue with his heart on the day before he was to be released from the hospital, when he was doing extremely well. And then all of a sudden, the very next morning, he passed over. So that has all of the earmarks of murder by the medical profession, which is called iatrogenic death, and that's death by the medical mafia. And so they took out my cousin. And so there's many, many stories like that. And that's kind of like what we're going through right now with this period of time, is Yahweh's people will resist. They always resist the beast. And things are coming to light to help us in that battle. If we just hold the line, we remain overcomers, there will be help that comes our way. So that's part of the good news. So it looks like there are some platforms. Like I said, it would be really good to have a separate web, a decentralized web, so that they can't, even if they take the main web down, the decentralized web would still be able to exist, at least from everything I've been told. So that's good news. And about this, these alternative energy sources. Also, we know now alternatives to the medical profession. Okay, I refuse to go to any kind of medical professional at this point. I'm just not going to do it. And so I have no pharmaceuticals. I don't go to any doctors. I will not step foot in a hospital. And I plan on living that way for the rest of my life, however many years he gives me. That's just the way it is. And apparently a lot of other people are starting to feel that way, because I'm hearing from people that I know in the medical profession, things have gone downhill quite a bit. Confidence in the medical profession is at an all-time low, just as confidence in our governments, man-made governments, is an all-time low. So these are all good developments as far as Yahweh's people, but they are indicative of tribulation for the heathen, tribulation for the unbeliever. So again, pretty interesting times that we live in. So let me go ahead and open up the lines here and see if everybody is on board. Charles, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Brother Dan.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure everybody is... I'm trying to unmute Cody and Ella, John, and Lane. I'm going to leave you muted because you don't usually want to say anything. But if you decide you do, just put something in the chat and we'll get you unmuted. So let me go ahead and yield for the moment and see if anybody has anything that's on their mind or they want to report or whatever here. Anything on your mind, Ella?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things on my mind, but I see by the looks of things, it's a man's world there, and I think I'd rather hear from the men and see what's going on. My specialties are medicine and the Bible, and you guys are talking about the new inventions that are coming out and energy and all that, and that's fascinating, too, and I'd like to hear more about it and what Charles is doing. And you know, I always enjoy listening to, you know, all of them. So let them all speak. And I'll keep quiet because I usually overwhelm people.
So you yield then?
I yield.
Hey, Charles, why don't you tell us about that alternative to blockchain? Because I had not heard about that.
Thank you, Dan. And I think there may be other alternatives to blockchain, too. But, am I echoing there?
No, I'm hearing you all right.
All right. This one has been around for a while, and I've researched it, and I really like it and the people. But like most good things, they've got subversives in their own ranks that are sabotaging it. A lot of the computer universe is routinely held back by subversives within the organizations that are in positions of influence. I think this holochain thing is suffering from things like that. But the holochain, there's other videos on it that explain it too. I'll try to post a few other links, but the one guy that I posted the video link to, he explains real well the basic difference that blockchain is designed to consume a lot of energy, and it's clunky. It's trying to do way too much work. And so it burdens everybody that tries to use it. And there are much more efficient ways of keeping account of the economic transactions and of just communications going back and forth that are much less technology intensive, and holochain is one of them. So, and similar to what you're talking about with the free energy stuff, Dan, that Brighteon video. The technology is at our fingertips, but there's people in positions of influence and control that are purposefully obstructing these powerful technologies from being used by the common people. So anyway, that's all I got there. But the future is bright if we can just break past the parasite class that is destroying our ability to use these technologies. I know.
Okay. Yeah, if you would, just go ahead and mute yourself. That way, if you have something, you can unmute yourself. So that works best. Yeah, I agree. I think there are lots of things that are available, and it's the same parasite class that Yeshua was fighting. We're fighting that same class today, and they are the ones behind the hiding of all this stuff. There's tremendous inventions that even I myself am aware of, people that have actually worked on, for instance, automobiles that run by magnetism and the lines of flux, the same Tesla information that can be used to create electricity from the magnetic lines of flux will also power an automobile down the road. I met the people that were working on that years ago. So right there is two huge items that could very easily make us independent of these people altogether. If you built the body of the car with good components, it should last a generation, and you're powering it up by magnetism. You literally would put the car manufacturers out of business, practically out of business. You'd put the taxing authorities and the rest of them, put them out of business as well. You don't need to buy their gas tax. You don't have to pay the gas tax because a large percentage or a very good percentage of your price of a gallon of gas is damn taxes. Okay? It's bad enough that you're paying what you're paying for Jewish petroleum company's product called gasoline, when it should be probably about 25, 30 cents a gallon. The rest of it's all profit for these same criminals that are profiting from all our enslavement. And it's time that they be taken out of power, really. Let me make sure there's a couple new people came in. I want to make sure everybody's unmuted. Okay, very good. So, again, as Henry David Thoreau said, you know, every 1,000 people whacking at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one whacking at the roots. That means only one out of 1,000 people realize the root of our problem. And that's usually the identity people, the people that can correctly interpret the scriptures from the standpoint of our people, the white race, being the Israelites of old, and being able to properly identify the criminals and the adversaries that we were warned about in Scripture, who they really are today, because the mainstream wants us to, you know, look at what they call the elites or the cabal and all this other horse manure, when really it's one group of people. Okay, and they've been our arch enemies ever since Genesis 3:15 and on. No matter what the DNA is, no matter what the whole progress of how they went from Genesis 3:15 to today, that's all fireside chat stuff to me. I really don't care. People say, "Well, what about the DNA of Eve? Is she, you know, and did you this?" Look, that happened thousands of years ago. Okay, not one single person in your lifetime is going to be able to prove any of it to you. Nobody can prove it. So why are we sitting around arguing about it? We don't need to do that. We have an adversary, clearly identified adversary, the Bolshevik Zionist Jew who's trying to take over the world, because they have announced that they're going to do that. It's not like it's a secret. They've come out and said that's their goal. And you can look at all of the machinations that are going on today, all of the mischievous things that are being done. Who's paying for all of this insanity that we have today? It's the same group of people. You have empirical evidence in front of your face. It's not even debatable. So why sit around and debate? Why do our people love to sit around and bash each other over interpretations about things that could have happened 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows? Could have been 20,000 years ago. You don't know. I don't know. They've lied to us about everything else. Do you think they might be lying to us about how long we've been here? Do you think they might be lying to us about the history of the world? Maybe. These people have lied to us about every single that you can think of, and yet you're going to believe they told us the truth about calendars? They told us the truth about what happened 6,000 years ago? I don't think so. I don't trust them as far as I could throw them. But the point of it is, we have a current, clear, and present danger in this world. There is a cabal, a group of these Bolsheviks who think they should be the masters of this world. And they are evil. To their core, they are evil. And it's obvious that they are, quote, anti-Christ or anti-Yahweh, anti-creator, anti-good, anti-whatever's right and just in this world. They're against it all. That's not even debatable. All you got to do is look at the news reports. All you got to do is take a look at the zombies walking around you. All you got to do is go down to the morgue and see how many of your friends and relatives are laying there dead. No debate there. You're under an assault. Look at the millions of people crossing our border. You've got an invading army. There's no need to sit around and debate any of this stuff. You have an invading army here right now. You have the criminals running the streets in most of our major cities. No debate. It's here now. Do we resist? Do we fight? Or do we just let it keep on going down until there's none of us left? Go ahead, Ella. You got your hand up.
Okay. I'll put it down. Remove. Excuse me. I saw a video today that was very interesting. It's a little bit off the topic for what you're saying, but it's something that we could start thinking about today. This old man went into a supermarket or a store or whatever, and he bought a basket of strawberries, and he put them on the counter, and the woman behind the counter told him with the tax how much it would be. So he reached into his pocket and took out a bunch of change, which equaled the amount that the strawberries were, and put them on the counter and started walking out. And the woman said, "Now you can't do that. We don't accept cash. You have to have a credit card." He says, the money for the strawberries is right there. I paid for them, and they're mine, and I'm leaving." And they tried to stop him, but they couldn't because he paid for them. And he got outside, he shared his strawberries with the others, and they applauded him. What I'm thinking of is, we have to start beginning to think of an alternative currency, because they're very rapidly coming in with this new computerized, generated, digital nonsense money that we've been living with for a long time. Every time you use your credit card, you're going with the system, and they're just magical digits that you really don't have that are appearing out of nowhere. We have to start thinking about what we're going to use as currency, because when that boom comes crashing down, we're all going to be SOL, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So anybody that has any ideas of what we can do about this would be greatly appreciated, and particularly coming soon, be a godsend. I yield.
Well, I'd like to interject something. I've actually noticed a lot of self-checkouts being put in, like, more and more in a lot of the supermarkets now. And
oh, really?
A lot of them, at least in my area, I've noticed that they've been putting them in left and right, more and more of them. I mean, I don't go to them. I always go to a cashier, because at least, you know, they're keeping them employed at the very least. But a lot of them, they don't accept cash. It's all credit card, too. But I just, like I said, I've noticed, I don't know if anyone else has, but they've been really installing a lot more self-checkouts.
Well, I have to know from other people what's going on out there, because I'm alone. I live out in the boondocks. I don't have a car, and I haven't been into a store in years. So I don't know what's going on there. All I can tell is what's going on in the internet. So I'm just reporting that. So you guys out there probably know better what's going on than I do. I yield.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, Target here has put in, one day I stopped in for a single item because I don't like using Target or any of the big stores for anything. And I noticed that they had no cashiers whatsoever. They wanted self-checkout for everything. Same thing at the Super Walmart. They had all kinds of self-checking and almost no registers, so that the few registers that were open had 20 or 30 people in front of them. So they're trying to force you into it. But I did notice that one other time when I went back to that same Target, all of a sudden they did have one or two registers open. So I'm thinking what's happening is some of the people are complaining and saying that they don't, like me, I don't use self-checkout. I don't like using it. And I want a cashier. I want a person. Just like for my By Yahweh's Design website, which is PastorDan.net, I've noticed that the percentage being clipped off of what people send me as donations is getting higher and higher, which is the same reason I left PayPal. They keep it low until they get you trapped into using them. And then when you're not paying attention, they start bouncing the percentage of their cut up, which is a typical Jewish practice because the Jews run all of these platforms. Okay, so they keep it low, they trap you into using it, you get used to using it, and if you're not paying attention, you don't notice that they're clipping. Remember what they called it, coin clipping? And who were the people that were always found to be guilty of coin clipping? Jews, okay? If you ever look at your quarter has those ridges. Those ridges were put there by the mint so that they could tell if a coin had been clipped by a Jew. Okay, so they have been coin clippers. They've been clipping us for century upon century upon century. And so now today they do it electronically with the credit cards, clipping anywhere from 3 to 6% for just being the platform. I mean, that's a hell of a make there for just running a platform, because that's really all it is, because it's all digital. And the same thing with PayPal and DonorBox and Stripe and all the rest of them. Again, they keep the percentage low when you first sign up, but then 6 months later, if you're keeping track, which is what I do, you start seeing that percentage of their clipping going up higher and higher and higher. See, they're never satisfied just to make a living or just to be able to get paid for a service. They always got to try to get more from you, to bleed you. That's the typical Jewish mentality. Of course, they've got a lot of white people now who have adopted their mentality, so they think like Jews. They're proselytes. The Bible calls them proselytes, which are twice the child of hell as the Jew is. So a lot of white people are just as greedy, if not more so. But these platforms are run by Jews, and they all run the same way. So like Ella said, you know, eventually we have to figure out ways around them, just like the people working on Web 2.0 and Web 3.0, and like Charles says, things other than blockchain. We've got the talent, we have the ability, if people would just realize that we are fighting a war for our very existence, and we need to pool our resources and pool our intellectual talent to fight against them. Instead of going with these people, take that God-given talent and fight these people. Come up with alternatives and stop supporting these bastards. They have no interest in doing anything for our benefit. I mean, just take a look at the world around you. Do you see it? Any benefit? Are they doing anything at all to benefit our people? Nothing. And they're out there calling for the outright extermination of our race. I mean, how much more do you have to hear to realize that you're in a war for your very existence here? I don't understand white people. I just don't. I give up trying to figure it out. 70 years I've been watching and walking amongst white people, and to this day I can't figure out what makes them tick. I think part of the problem is people we think are white, they're not. Just like he said, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. I think there's imposters. Not just the Jews themselves, but there are actual imposter Israelites. There are imposters of the white race. They look like they're part of us, but I don't know if they're mongrels. I don't know if there's something wrong with them internally, whatever. But they may look like our people, but the lights aren't on upstairs. You can look in their eyes. You watch the way they behave. You listen to their speech. They're not of us. they don't think like an Aryan, like a true Israelite, an Aryan, which is people of nobility. That's what Aryan originally meant, the noble people. Okay? Our people used to be noble. They were full of confidence. They were level-headed. They weren't easy to anger. They weren't quick with harsh words. They were astute, well-read, okay, intelligent, philosophers, teachers, builders. That is who we are. And they have created amongst our people a generation or two of misfits that act just as retarded and greedy as the Jew does. And I don't think they're our people. And personally, when Yahweh thins the herd and gets rid of them, I'm not going to miss them at all. They just get in our way. Ellis says there are even apostate Israelites in the Old Testament, so we sure as heck have a lot today. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just because their exterior looks like us doesn't mean the interior is right. Or as we used to say, just because the hardware is correct on the computer, it doesn't mean the software driving that computer is right. And the same thing with these people. You may have the exterior. And again, this is why Yeshua said, ye shall judge them by their fruits, not by their appearance, not by their words. Not those two things, not their appearance, not their words, but by their deeds, their fruit. And white people lost that somewhere along the way. They started respecting people because of their exterior or the jobs they held or the titles that they had. I called it worshiping credentials. Oh, Dan, you don't know what you're talking about as far as health because you don't have MD after your name. Oh, Dan, you don't know what's going on in the world because you don't have PhD after your name. We began to worship titles. Oh, my pastor has a seminary degree in divinity from blah, blah, blah university. And we did. We worshiped titles, credentials, even though we have come to find out that many of these people didn't actually even earn them, especially the kikes. They're famous for building resumes that are not accurate at all. They're famous for getting honorary, quote, degrees. And I used to work with some of them in the power industry. People, it was like, how did this guy get the job? What are his real credentials? I know what his resume looks like. They plaster it all over the internet so you can read his resume. But this guy doesn't act like somebody with these kind of credentials. He acts like a complete moron. And you come to find out that, again, yeah, he didn't do it. It was somebody built the resume. It was built on lies, deception, half-truths, because that's the world we live in. The corporate world is full of lies. The entertainment world is full of lies. Government, lies. The church world, lies. The pharmaceutical industry, lies. They all lie because it's good for business. I've told you the story about Reader's Digest. I used to read the Reader's Digest all the time. And I remember many years ago, I read where they did a study of the Fortune 300 companies and asked them about whether they thought lying was acceptable. And only 5%, 5 out of 100, said that lying was acceptable if it helped improve the bottom line. 10 years later, a mere 10 years later, they took the same survey. So this would have been around the 1990s. And it completely reversed. 95% of the Fortune 300 companies said that lying was acceptable if it helped improve sales, if it improved the bottom line of the corporate charters and stockholders made money. 95%. And you can see that's when this country turned from that point on. Lying became a way of life. And it's one of the reasons I retired early is I got tired of the lies. I got tired of being a white man working my rear end off to make people who were completely unqualified and not fit for their positions look good. People were given the jobs because of their gender or their skin color, and they were completely unqualified. And some of the white people that got their jobs that they had were unqualified too. Don't get me wrong. But the point of it is they put people in charge based on things other than talent. So instead of a meritocracy, it was a cacistocracy, which is your worst elements are in charge. The worst people in your society have the reins of power. And we're seeing the result of it now. Our country's falling apart. I'm shocked that we don't have rebellion in the streets today. I'm just utterly shocked. But it shows, the past 3.5 years shows how many people in this country, what I have termed anyway, what the people are in this country are folks who have no brains and no balls. That's the average person in the United States of America, and probably you could say the world in many cases. No brains and no balls. It's pretty pathetic. I yield. If anybody else has something else they want to discuss, report, got a question? Nobody? Wow.
I'd like to introduce myself.
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Yeah, this is the first time I've called in, and I just wanted to personally thank you for sending me all the information that you send me. I'm on your email list, and I've been on it for quite some time, and I really appreciate the stuff that you send me. I've learned a lot from it. I was exposed to, caught up in evangelical Zionism for a lot of years, and finally came to know the real truth about my Christianity and my identity. Finally accepted the fact that, yeah, I am a Anglo-Saxon Caucasian, and our ancestors did come across the Caucasus Mountains, and everything that that I learned when I was going to these evangelical churches for 10, 12 years. It's all wrong, and it took me a long time to unlearn everything that I've been taught. So you've been a big inspiration in my life with all the literature and things that you've sent me. And over the years, I've listened to other Christian identity people, and everything that I have learned and heard about, and when I do my own research on it, I'm like, man, this is right. This stuff is, these guys know what they're talking about. This is real Christianity here. This is not evangelical Zionism, and there's truth here, and there's meat here, and there's substance here, and this is what I want. So I just wanted to call in for the first time and let you and your listeners know that I'm pretty thankful for that, and I praise Yahweh all the time for that. And I have become so aware now of what's going on as far as where we are in the world and in society, and how that these Jews have just completely taken over all aspects of our social society. I mean, it's everywhere, and it just keeps getting worse. And right now, I'm very, very, very concerned about the direction that our country's going in with this election coming up, and then with this Russian-Ukrainian conflict that's going on over in Europe and Ukraine. I don't think people understand how close that we are getting into trouble with Russia right now. They're fed up with this Ukrainian situation over there, and NATO, and they're not going to take it much longer. They're gonna cause a war that could escalate us and bring us right into it. And this could change everything in this country in just a matter of days. So pretty concerned about that. But I want to just listen for a little bit and just I don't want to make noise. I'm not sure how to unmute myself here. Anyway, I'll yield for now and let others talk. But I do appreciate everything that you do, Pastor Dan. And I just want to say Yahweh bless you and all your listeners. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey, very much. I was going to ask, what state do you live in? I'm assuming you're here in the United States.
Yeah, I'm in southeast Idaho.
Oh, you're so out in Idaho.
I live in a town in the southeastern part of Idaho. I'm actually north of Idaho Falls, Idaho, about 10 miles in a little town called Rigby. But the biggest town that we do business in is Idaho Falls, Idaho. It's about 60,000 people, and it's way out here, and this is considered LDS country.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it. I've been here 7 years now, and I just before that I was born and raised and spent almost 60 years in the state of Washington. Yeah, that's up in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I told my wife, I says, you know, when mom and dad pass away, I says, we're out of here. We're just leaving. I'm tired of this state. I want to get out of here. So I started looking, and we bought a home here in southeast Idaho, and I've been here 7 years now.
Hmm.
So yeah, and like I said, it's almost like moving to a different country, this area that I live in here, because I live in Jefferson County, and I've talked to people here that have been here their whole lives, and they claim that 90% of the people that live here are LDS Mormons.
Wow.
So you know, all the schools are different. Even the grocery stores are different. They got special aisles that are just all stuff for prepping. You know, LDS people are into prepping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are preppers. Every house that I've been into here in their basement, you go down in their basement, there's 2 years' supply of food stocked on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're all into, you got to have your own sewage system, you got to have your own water source, so, you know, and backup power and stuff like that. So in that regard, I feel like it's a pretty safe place to live, and I've never been to LDS. I don't know a lot about them. I've been doing a little bit of research on them, but another thing about it, this area that I really like is they're all Anglo-Saxon Europeans. Very few Hispanics here, no black people here. I mean, Idaho is ranked as the fifth whitest state in the Union.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and everybody here, you go into a Walmart here in the area that I live, or in LDS country, and it's all white people in the Walmarts, you know, everywhere. So
yeah. Well,
that I like, and I just feel like it's a good place for me right now, even though that I'm not part of the LDS community. I'm friends with those people. They come and, you know, they come and knock on my door, and I bring them in the house and talk to them and stuff like that. And occasionally, if my wife and I are up to it and the circumstances are right, we'll go to a picnic in our neighborhood, you know, if we're invited, just to be socially kind and, you know, friendly and you know, things like that. But it's one thing I didn't really know about when we first moved here is how strong and how the LDS community was. So, but anyway, I've learned that over the years and accepted it. And, you know, here I am in Southeast Idaho. And,
mm-hmm.
I've been here 7 years and 65 years old, married. Our kids are all grown. They're in their 30s, late 30s and 40s. And they live in, some live in Spokane, some live in California, and, you know, we got a few of them scattered around. But my wife and I are here in Idaho, and this is where we think we want to stay for the time being. And but yeah, I yield.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want a cultural shock, we'll trade places because you're up in the Northwest, I'm in the Southeast, and that's 180 degrees out, and the culture and the demographics are 180 degrees out here. You go into Walmart, it's hard to ever see white people in it. You go on the streets here, it's hard to find white people driving a car. It's almost all brown and black. So we live in completely opposite. I'm going to tell you something. You better stay where you're at, because if you get around an area like where I'm at, you're going to wish you were in an area like you're at. See, where I grew up was very much like that in central Pennsylvania back in the 1950s and 60s. The demographics in the countryside of Pennsylvania was very much the same as what you're describing there. And our crime... the crime rate was near zero. I mean, there was so little crime, it's the police really didn't have much to do at all. You almost never saw the I think we only had one police car, maybe two, and you never saw them actually going somewhere because of a crime. They went somewhere because of a dedication or some ceremony or something like that. There was almost no crime. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And yet today, you know, we got a police state that's grown up around us because they've made us all criminals because they've written so many damn laws. And we've got so many of these foreigners who don't think like us or act like us. And now we have crime coming out of our rear ends. It's really something. But Ella had her hand up here. Let me see if she still wanted to say something. Go ahead, Ella.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course we can.
Oh,
yep.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I really enjoyed your talk. I looked at your name, and you brought back so many memories, because a couple of marriages ago, my last name was Powers as well. Anyway, I've walked the same walk that you've walked, I think, when you were talking about coming out of what you were into, the Zionism. And that's a heck of a hurdle to have jumped out of, because I know I jumped out of mine. I called it dispensationalism, where I believed that the Jews were the God's chosen people. And for many, many years, I studied the Bible intimately, and I thought I knew a heck of a lot, and I did, but I was learning the wrong things. And the day I met Dan, about almost 6 years ago, that changed my whole life, because he came out with the saying that, you know, you've got to know who's who in the zoo. You've got to know who you are in the Bible before you know the journey that you're traveling on the earth. And if you don't know that the white people are the Israelites, you're going to get it all wrong. And anyway, when you were talking about the Ukraine and Russia and all that, I don't think I'd put much stock into that kind of stuff. Because if you've ever seen the movie Wag the Dog, there was a place called Albania that was at war, and it was televised on all over the place that, you know, and that was taking people's attention and everything. But what Wag the Dog pointed out is that the government uses the media to detract from what they're doing. They invent a war that does not exist. So we don't know if that's what's going on or not. But there's a heck of a lot more problem in this world with the Jews than there will ever be with the Russians. Whether they control them or not, I don't know. World history and stuff like that is not my niche. I'm mainly a fairly well expert in medical matters because I was an RN for many decades. And the Bible I've been reading since I was in my 20s. And in the last 10 years, I 24/7, I'm a widow, and that's all I take my time doing. So I pretty well know that stuff, but I congratulate you for coming out what you've been in. And welcome to this club, because there's some pretty wonderful people in it that you're looking at the names now on the screen, the devotees that are here every single week and just lifting us up and giving us courage and strength. And Dan is one of the most wonderful leaders I've ever seen. He just has the patience and the temperament to be able to handle all the problems that we have, along with the ones that he has, too. So just welcome to us, really. Welcome to the family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, really, that's what it's all about. So thank you to both of you, because you're exemplifying what we've talked about for, almost 24 years. We've been on the radio, and before that, we were at gatherings of our people across the country. And we talked about it then, too. The need for our people to come back together as family. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten what family means. And we forgot how family behave, even though Yeshua made it very clear that he came as an example, and he said to love each other as I have loved you. That was a commandment. That wasn't a suggestion. That was the commandment he gave us. And our people lost sight of that somewhere along the way. We got into this churchianity thing, which is much like politics. They get the R's versus the D's, the Republicans versus the Democrats, and you get this dichotomy, and then it becomes an argument between the two. And then for us, it became denominationalism as we came out of the absolutely, completely sinister Roman Catholic Church. But then we became denominationalists. And we did the same thing. We created rituals. We created man-made constitutions for the church, man-made rules for dress codes, man-made rules on Sabbath worship, man-made rules about everything. So instead of fighting the popery, which our ancestors fought because they considered the Pope the Antichrist, we became the daughters of the Great Whore as denominations. And so within the denominations, we fought each other. The Baptists don't like the Methodists. The Methodists don't like the Presbyterians. It's completely ridiculous, because there was nothing that Yeshua taught that would support the idea of denominationalism. Nothing. He said, you're all brothers and sisters. You're part of my family. You're part of the house of Jacob Israel. You're the Israelites. You're the people I put out here. You're the ones I gave the promises to, the covenants to. I didn't give it to the dogs, just like he said in the book of Matthew to the woman with the sick child. The bread is for the children. This is the children's bread. This is the bread to feed my children, because they get it. It's not for the dogs, which is a biblical term for non-Israelites. Okay? And yet our whole, the whole church world thinks that we're supposed to worship and go after the dogs, try to take dogs and make them part of the family. That's not what Christ said. So we got everything ass backwards today. It's just unbelievable. Just like the book says, you know, we call evil good and good evil. Totally ridiculous. And I sympathized with what Jeffrey was saying as well, because when I was given the very first cassette tape of Pastor Pete Peters back when I got my awakening, my very good friend Larry and I got into a big fight about who the Jews were, because I was a typical Methodist at the time. And to his credit, he did not give up. He stayed calm. He just kept telling me I was wrong. And sure enough, I started looking into it. I bought my first concordance. And a week after I bought the first concordance, I said, Larry, I owe you an apology. You were right. And then years later, I ran into a gentleman who turned me on to Pete Peters with a couple cassette tapes, and I was off to the races because of the same thing Jeffrey talked about. These three cassettes talked about the food laws and who we were as Jacob Israel. And with those three cassettes, I ended up buying 1,100 cassette tape lectures. And I just saw Kumri, my son Jeremiah, has just come in here. He can attest to the fact that I had 1,100 cassette tape copies of lectures on identity. That was just the cassette tapes. That doesn't count videotapes. That doesn't count books, because I couldn't get enough. It's just like Christ said, once you drink from these waters, it'll quench your thirst, but you'll want more. Once you learn these truths, you want more. And I did. I wanted more. And I wanted to learn from every teacher of identity I could, because what I found out was no single guy had it all right. Not according to my studies. Not a single one of them had it all right. And so I took the pieces of each of their ministries that fit with scripture and common sense, and I developed my own platform to teach from. But, yep, 1,100 cassette tapes, and each one of them was a minimum of 1 hour, and some of them were 90-minute tapes. That's a lot of time, besides the word studies and everything else that I've done. Yahweh put me through all that for a reason. I knew it at the time. There was a good reason for it. So, and it's paid me dividends over the years, because it answered so many questions and gave me a insight that I don't see a whole lot of other people that have it. And too many people are egomaniacs. That's another thing I cannot tolerate for me, myself, personally. I can't tolerate that. I can't stand being around people with egos. They just, it's like taking your fingernails down across a chalkboard. Just irritates the living daylights out of me, and I can't stand it. We don't need egos. We need team players. We need people that know how to be part of a team to accomplish a goal. And egomaniacs are not team players. At least in my experience, they're not. And I've been blessed to be on some very, very good baseball teams and football teams. And so that was also a great lesson to teach me what it means to be a team player and to see what happens when the team is not made up of team players versus teams that do have team players, because we ended up winning conference championships and things like that. So, again, great lessons that taught me a lot, and then allows me to then also pass this information off to the family for their edification and for us to get back to where we belong, underneath our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who came to this earth and put on flesh and became known as Yahshua. But he taught us, he gave himself up as an example to teach us how we should be. And when we behave the way he said, things work very, very well. And when we go off the rails, then things don't go so well. Kumri, I saw you come in late. I've unmuted you if you wanted to say something, or are you just listening in? Must be just listening in. Okay, very good.
No, I'm here, and I'm currently driving, that's why.
Oh, your volume's a little on the low side.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just currently driving.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to distract you from your driving, so more important that you stay safe behind the wheel. Okay, very good. All right, let me just check the message board here and see. Let's see here. We got Charles says here, right on, Roman Catholics are seriously problematic. Before the Civil War, white Christians were building communities through revivals. That all changed through the Roman Masonic Civil War. Blessed are the meek. And then, right on, Brother Dan. Yeah, again, we were on the right track, but this enemy has come in, and because they have done that, they have led us astray with sophistry. If you've looked that word up, sophistry is basically what Nakash did to Eve in the garden. Nakash being the serpent. Not a literal serpent, by the way. Nakash was never a snake. Nakash was a man, a deceiving, cunning, lying person. And Nakash used the same thing, sophistry, to convince Eve into committing race mixing. And sophistry is how the enemy has come into our Christian communities, our communities of Israelite believers, and convince us that we needed to change the way we think, and we needed to all of a sudden be more concerned about minorities and other races than our own, to our own detriment, which is unbelievable how we swallowed that hook and allowed ourselves to be so deceived. The good news is people like Jeffrey and Ella and many other people are waking up because, as Scripture says, the Spirit testifies to the truth. And because of that, when you hear the truth, as Jeffrey, when he heard it, and Ella, when she heard it, and when I heard it, when I listened to Pastor Pete Peters, I'm getting a message here. Hold on a minute. When I heard it, the Spirit testified to the fact that it was truth, and I couldn't get enough, okay? And so that's what we rely on when we tell them about this identity truth. And as Ella said, for years now, we've been calling it learn about who's who in the zoo. If you don't understand who you are, where you've come from, you have no idea where you're going. Okay, I can't remember whose quote that is, but I do know I've read that, and it makes perfect sense. If you don't know your history, if you don't know where you came from, you have no idea where you're going. And the communist Jew said a long time ago, one of their goals was to separate us from our culture and our heritage. Because, again, when they can cut that cord to where you don't have the tie to your ancestors, to your culture, cord cut, you can now be led astray very easily, because that's an anchor. It's always been an anchor for me. I know who I am. I know who my family is. I know where we came from, and I know what we're destined to do. That's a great strength, and many people today don't have it. Look at these zombies out here. They're wandering around with this dead look in their eyes, their body language. Everything about them is wrong because they have no idea. The school system is teaching them bullshit, 100% bullshit. And again, I'm going to say out there to anybody with young children, if you've got them in the school system, shame on you. absolutely shame on you if you've put them into the institution called public schools. You've turned them over to the enemy. And that includes all the way up to college and universities. Dens of iniquity, dens of communist propaganda. I grew up just south of Penn State University. So we were a big Nittany Lion fans and Joe Paterno fans, okay? Just south of the campus. And I remember many years ago, I went back home to visit, and I was talking to one of my childhood friends who had grown up and got a business in State College, Pennsylvania, where Penn State University is. And he was telling me about the goings on the campus of Penn State University. I could not believe it. Excuse me. And this is many years ago. They would have celebrations on the campus, and the teachers allowed this. The administrators of the campus allowed this. They would have tents set up where you could pay to go in, and inside the tent, anything goes. And I think your imaginations can pretty much guess what anything goes means inside that tent. And there were many other things going on. And again, this was back in the 90s. So you can imagine what it's like today on these campuses. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand people. I really don't. Why is that so hard? It's the same idea with putting a substance into your body that's untested, unverified, being sold by a bunch of Zionist pig Jews who have no interest in you getting healthy or keeping you alive, at astronomical prices, and yet people put this shit in their arms. What? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I wouldn't buy a used car from a guy like Fauci or Deborah Birx or any of the rest of these quacks and charlatans that they parade out here in front of us. I wouldn't buy a bouquet of flowers from them because I'd be afraid there'd be poison in the petals. And yet you put a substance in your body into the very bloodstream that Yahshua told us was precious. You're not to allow any foreign substance into your body. It's your temple. You're to guard what you see, what you hear, so that it does not pollute the temple. So if visual things and audio things coming into your ear can pollute the temple, what do you think injecting a serum into your bloodstream does? And that goes for other pharmaceutical products as well, and in some of these drugs. And I'm talking illicit drugs like heroin. They're poisons to the body. And we were commanded to keep the poisons away, whether it's verbal, visual, or substance. Doesn't matter. Your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we've talked about. Okay, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, a bodily experience. And when we pass from this world, this temple, this vehicle that we're in will be corruptible and perish, but we don't. We don't. Go ahead, Cromery, what do you have, bud? Unmute yourself.
Well, since we're on the topic of poisons and toxicities in the body, one of the best and really free and easy to create powders that literally eliminates all toxins and all poisons, it is so powerful, hospitals will actually use it in cases of Tylenol overdose and alcohol overdose and drug overdose, is activated charcoal. There's nothing stronger than activated charcoal for taking poisons out of the body. It's so strong that if you have liver failure or kidney failure, it will take out all the poisons and help ease the stress on the organs.
Yep. I have two bottles full of activated charcoal on my my medicine cabinet. You're right. Many times I've used it, particularly for an upset stomach, if I get the wrong kind of food or possibly salmonella or anything like that. One of the first things I grab is the activated charcoal, because you're right. It will help settle things down and help to I can't remember the term they use it, but basically leach out the poisons and whatever within the body. Anything? Oh, okay. You muted yourself, so I'm assuming you're done. Or are you?
No, I just mute myself when I'm not talking, so there's no backlash.
Background noise?
Background noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So did you have anything else?
Well, no, I was just going to add that the way it works is because of the intense heat used to make the charcoal, and that's the thing, is it has to be extremely intense heat. It creates millions, if not billions, of micropores, microscopic, even nanoscopic pores in the particles of charcoal, which traps the bacteria, viruses, and poisons into the charcoal. And interesting enough, even with all of our technology, medical science does not know why or how the charcoal knows to only trap the poisons and the toxins, because, you know, they can't comprehend that God made it that way. And I'm sure one day we'll figure out why it does what it does, but it will not trap good bacteria. It will not trap, now it can trap minerals and vitamins, so when you do take activated charcoal, it's best to do it before eating, not like right before, like at least 2 hours before eating, and not when you're taking other supplements, because it will trap to other, you know, supplements and pull it out of the body, but it does not harm the natural gut biome or the good microorganisms in the body.
That sounds a little bit like garlic. Garlic is another one of those miracle items that our Father gave us as an antibiotic, and yet it doesn't harm the good biome, and it will only go after the bad guys. And how it knows the difference, I don't know. But, you know, the older I get, again, 70 years on this earth, and yet I'm growing things, I'm growing plants and trees, I'm going back to my roots as a farmer, and I appreciate it so much more than I did as a child. I just marvel every time I go out and look at these young trees and these plants and how they grow and how strong they are and how resilient they are and how medicinal. Even the things they call weeds, that's why there's a website called Eat the Weeds, which is phenomenal. Because what we find out is many of the weeds, for instance, like dandelion, when I was a child, my parents were constantly wanting me to go out and uproot the dandelion to keep them out of the yard. And then I find out dandelion is probably one of the best plants that Yahweh put upon this earth. Every part of the dandelion is beneficial to us. The leaves make great salad material. It's all medicinal. Unbelievable. And many other of the like wild lettuce and some of the other things that are out there, wall lettuce are things that look like weeds, and yet you find out they're actually very tasty and highly, highly nutritious. Plus, as Kumri was talking about there, you find out that a lot of these plants have properties where they will go in there and not only provide you with the nutrients and minerals and vitamins that you need, but they'll actually go in there and help pull out the toxins and the bad things that are in you. So, for instance, like cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is an extremely powerful medicinal plant. Okay, cayenne pepper, I've told the story many times where a friend of mine cut his wrist on the farm. We were putting up some barbed wire fence, and he wasn't paying attention, and he raked his hand across the barbed wire, and the barb put about a quarter to 5/16 inch gash across his wrist, and it was bleeding pretty profusely. So we went into the kitchen and stuck his hand underneath the faucet and ran clean water over it and whatnot, and we just sprinkled cayenne pepper into that wound and then bandaged it. And I saw him at work 2 or 3 days later, and I asked him how his wound was healing, and he said, "What wound?" I said, "Well, that big gash you got in your wrist at the farm the other day." And he put his hand up and he said, "You mean this?" There wasn't even a scar. It was completely healed and not even a scar. So again, things like honey, real butter, cayenne pepper, great healers. And again, you could spend a lifetime learning all this stuff. And some people do. There's just so much to it, and we've forgotten it. Many of us have walked away and forgotten it because we believe the, quote, trusted voices telling us to trust the people with PhD and MD behind their names when they are completely ignorant, as I found out when Kumri was a young man. We had a run-in with some people in the medical mafia and from the state. And I come to find out that these people have degrees. There was a woman that I met in Virginia that had a degree in nutrition. Now think about this. She had a 4-year degree in nutrition. And she had no idea why I did not want my children to eat white sugar. She thought there was nothing wrong with white sugar. I said, "Lady, I don't know where you got your degree, but you're a dumbass. You don't know that white sugar is a poison, literally a poison to the body. I'm not talking about cane sugar or the natural sugar. I'm talking about this white purified garbage that they sell in the stores." And yet this female had 4 years in college and didn't even know that sugar is bad for you, okay? In fact, she even said at one point her sister is a organics only gal, spends hours going through the grocery store checking labels before she'll put something in her cart, and she made fun of her own sister and said, "I think it's ridiculous. If I had children," she says, "I would feed them whatever's at the store. It doesn't make a difference." Now this is a person with a 4-year degree and a certain amount of authoritative powers given to her to interfere with people's families, and that's how freaking stupid she was. You want to see why we're in the shape we're in? Okay, again, we're not a meritocracy anymore. We hire people based on gender and skin color. Talent has nothing to do with it. Knowledge, for instance, medical doctors have no knowledge of the natural world. None. Your medical doctors receive zero training in nutrition. At least they have up until now, recently. I don't know about today, but up until recently, every doctor, every person I ever interviewed, every person I ever talked to, their training in medical schools, even as many years as they spend in the medical schools, they do not receive training in nutrition, which is probably one of the key factors to health. Nutrition. You are what you eat, folks. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It reminded me of an article I was reading earlier today. And we haven't talked about it on the show very much lately, but we used to talk about it all the time. Why do we talk so much about health? And as Kumri knows, I've been talking about it since he was a young man. Why do we spend so much time talking about health? Because a healthy person is better able to resist the wiles of the adversaries. A healthy person typically has better brain function and cognitive abilities. A healthy person. A healthy person can take on stress when dealing with this world much better than a sickly person. And that's why we push it. And if it ever comes down to a hot war between us and our adversaries, you better hope that you go into it with your health. Because if you go into it with less than top physical conditioning, it's going to be rough. So you want to keep your body in great shape at all times for a lot of good reasons. And not the least of which, it was a commandment of the Father. Again, it is the temple of your Holy Spirit. You are to treat it as a temple. You don't worship it, but you better take care of it. You better be a good steward of it, because you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. He gave you a healthy body. He expects you to keep it that way. Now, again, all of us have made mistakes. I'm sure everybody here has done things in their past they probably shouldn't have done. That's not the point. You repent, you learn, and you go on, and you teach others not to do the same thing you did. As I've told my children and many of the other young people I talk to all the time, I'm telling you this not because I'm trying to chastise or to denigrate you in any way. I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm simply trying to get you to hear me out so that you do not suffer what I and others have suffered to learn what we have learned. I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself, I wish my ancestors had taught me the things I had learned since my childhood. I wish I had learned them in my childhood to have carried me all the way through my adulthood so that I would not have made mistakes and I would not have had to suffer the things I've suffered. Praise be to the living God that if you repent, as Kumri has talked about here, if you repent and you put the right things in your body, and Ella, I know for a fact, can attest to this, if you start doing the right things, even as an elderly person in our communities, as a senior citizen, you can turn things around. People say, oh, no, you can't turn the clock back. Bullshit. Yes, you can. I'm living testimony of that. Ella's a living testimony of that. Kumri's been through the mill health-wise. He's still here. And the things that we've all learned in the world of natural health has been a large part of it. So again, I'm not telling people to do anything. They can do whatever they want. But you're going to pay a price if you do it wrong. And you're going to miss out on the blessings that you get for doing it right. That's the main thing that I learned when I was a young man reading scripture. When I applied those verses from the scripture into my personal life, I was blessed. Every time I did it, I was blessed. Every commandment, every suggestion, every golden rule that we were given in Scripture, when I put it to practice in my life, there was a blessing that came from it. Hallelujah. With that, I'm going to go ahead, since it's been an hour and a half, and I don't usually like to go too much longer than that, I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. I hope you don't mind. And then we'll close out in prayer. So let me just go through here. And let's see. All right. Very good. And a great discussion. And again, I thank Ella, Kumri, and Jeffrey for calling in and sharing tonight, and Cody as well. Again, folks, we're part of a family. We're going to survive what's going to happen in the near future as a team, working together as a team, sharing our experiences, sharing our knowledge, even sharing the things that are embarrassing sometimes, not because we want to be glorified in any way, but simply because we care about each other. We'd better anyway. Let's put it that way. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with one another. We just pray that these words that we've recorded will go out and reach many, many other people and lift them up as well. We pray that the information that we shared here will reach people that may be in need of that information. And that healing will come, spiritual healing and physical healing, which comes from your truths in this world. We live in an ocean of lies and deceptions, and we want to float on an ark of truth and honesty based upon your law, based upon you as our Heavenly Father and Creator. We ask you to forgive us our sins, our shortcomings. Wash us anew to make us new creations in your image in this dark world that we find ourselves. And help us in this struggle to have good discernment, a stiff backbone, courage to speak the truth at all times, and to have a heart of compassion for our brothers and sisters. Be with us again in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.